James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And I want to talk to you today about on the other side of your problem is abundance.
Yes.
On the other side of your problem is abundance. In James chapter 4, let me know when you get there. James chapter 4, right after Hebrews. You all there? Not yet? Still hear some pages going? James chapter 4.
Amen.
Amen. Let's start reading at verse number 7. And it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And read it again. Therefore submit to God. Submit means to surrender or yield oneself to the will or authority of another. To relinquish possession or control of another as a result of demand or compulsion. Submit to God. Surrender to God. Resist the devil. Resist means to oppose with force. To remain firm in opposing the action or effect of. It means to withstand. To refrain from giving in to. Resist the devil. Come on, somebody. And he will do what?
Flee
from you. He got to go.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, looking at the reality of the spirit world, we know that we have a spiritual enemy. And that enemy is out to destroy you and I. He's out to keep us from experiencing God's best.
Yes.
The Bible calls him Satan or the devil. And he has legions and hordes of demons that assist him in the task of making the life of the believer miserable. Now, he can't keep you out of heaven. But he wants to keep you from God's best.
Yes.
And I want you to know that we have authority over him and we can exercise that authority over him so we can see the will of God come to pass in our lives. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not going to show up in a red suit with a pitchfork and horns.
Mm-hmm.
But watch this. This is important. But he shows up in the arena of our thought life.
Yes. Amen.
He shows up where? In the arena of our thought life. And he does it in order to deceive us. In order to talk us into disobeying God. Why? So that we will reap the consequences of our disobedience. But I want you to know that you don't have to fall prey to that. You can overcome him. And what I want us to know today is that what is the life that Jesus has for us as believers? What does Jesus have for us, the believer? Because God has the right to establish order in my life. God has the right to establish order in your life. And you say, well, wait a minute. Why is that? Well, because you've been bought with a price.
Amen.
Am I right about it?
That's right.
The scripture says you've been bought with a price. So he has a right to establish order in your life. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
And watch this. And anything that pulls me outside of the order of God, I have to resist it.
Yes.
Anything that pulls me outside of the order of God, I have to resist it. And if I resist any satanic attack against my life, the Bible just said it will flee from you. So you got to resist. Refrain from giving in to. Amen?
Amen.
So let's look at the life of the believer that I believe every believer ought to live. Go with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Let me know when you get there. John chapter 10. When you're there, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
John chapter 10. Amen. John chapter 10, verse number 10 says this. The thief. The who?
The thief.
Does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I come that you may have life and that you may have it what? More abundantly. The thief cometh but to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it what? More abundantly. That's why Jesus came. Amen? That's why Jesus came. And it is the will of God that you have, that you live a prosperous life. It's all through the Bible. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8 says, this book of the law, I shall meditate in it day and night and do according to all that is written therein. It says, for then I will make my way prosperous and have great success. Deuteronomy 8 and 18 says, remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant with your fathers that He swore to in days past. Yes. Amen? Come on, somebody. In 3 John chapter 2, it says, beloved. Mm-hmm. Watch this. 3 John chapter 2, he says, beloved. There's one thing that I desire, and that is that you be in good health and that you prosper. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
But see, you need to know that the will of God does not automatically come to pass in your life. The will of God does not automatically come to pass, but it is relative to your exercising your faith. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
The will of God, God just ain't going to do what He wants to do. He needs your participation.
That's right.
I'll give you an example. In Matthew chapter 9, as Jesus was leaving the city, coming into the city, two blind men bum-rushed Him. And they said, Lord, heal us. And Jesus walked right on by. Like He didn't even see. He just walked on by them, went on into the temple. And they came running in there and said, Lord, heal us. And Jesus said to them, He says, do you believe that I can do this? And they said, yes, Lord, we believe. And then He says, He hit them with this. He says, but according to your faith, so be it unto you. According to whose faith? Your faith. So be it unto you. He said, God said, don't put this on me. Don't try to put this on me. He said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. So you may be hindering your healing. Come on. Because you're not believing. See, I believe he walked on by those men because he wanted to see just how bad they wanted their healing.
Amen.
And when they came in there, they said, Lord, can you see him? Lord, we believe. And He said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And I'm really excited about this word today because, as I read John 10:10, God wanted me to share this with you. He says, abundance is on the other side of your problem.
Yes.
I mean, that's a word from God.
Amen.
Just on the other side of whatever it is that you're going through is abundance.
Yes.
See, I'm going to show you in the scripture. And my prayer today is that you will never look at problems the same after today.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You'll always understand that if I will handle the problems, come on somebody, that you're going through with righteous principles, on the other side of that is going to be abundance, breakthrough, and blessings.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, on the other side of your on the other side of your battle is a blessing. It's all through the Bible. It's all through the Bible. See, most believers have been duped into thinking that if I'm living the Christian life, I'll never have problems. And that's just not true. You know, that's Satan's way to beguile us and to deceive us. And then you start wondering, well, what did I do? Well, listen, you didn't do anything. You don't have to do anything wrong. You didn't have to do anything wrong to have problems. The Bible lets us know that problems are a part of the Christian's life. And it's a part of living, period. And in Psalms chapter 34, verse 19 puts that whole problem thing into perspective. Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. Many are what? The problems, the trials and tests that you go through. Many of them, the stuff that you're going through, are the righteous. But God will deliver you out of them all. We're going to have problems. I mean, there's no two ways about that. And as I read Psalm 34, this is what the Spirit said. It said, every problem must surrender to the supernatural. Every problem must surrender to the supernatural. And the Scripture says that God, because the Scripture says that God will deliver them, us out of them all, right? And is God the supernatural?
Yes.
Yes, He is. God is the supernatural. See, the key is not in having problems, but in knowing how to handle the problems. Because beyond every problem is payoff and reward. Amen? See, God has given us an example of this, of how we should handle problems. Go back to James chapter 1. Go back to James chapter 1. I got any believers in here?
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Are you there?
Amen.
Amen. Verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience.
That's right.
But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Amen.
In other words, arriving at a no-need state. On the other side of your difficulty, the trials, the troubles that you're facing, beyond the testing, is great joy, victory, and blessings. Amen? You hear what I'm saying? Turn back a page. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number 5. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has says, I will never leave you, nor do what? Forsake you. Sometimes when we're going through, we look at other folks and we wish we were them. Because they appear like they ain't going through anything. But the fact of the matter is they have problems too. So quit wishing you were somebody else. This scripture is this passage, that scripture right there is down to earth. That's real, real right there. See, it says quit wishing you were somebody else. And if I can say it like this, you gotta play the hand that you was dealt.
That's right.
Don't be covetous wishing you were someone else, because you're not them.
That's right.
You are who you are.
That's right.
Amen. Now here's the key. God says, here's the key. God says this. He says, I will never leave you. He says, I will never leave who?
Me.
You. Amen. That's the blessing. That's the advantage that you have.
Amen.
Is that God says, I will never leave you. You have God with you. Let me show you this in Amplified Version. This is, let me show you this. Stay right where you are. I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified Version because it's just so awesome. Verse number 5 just says, let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed and avarice, lust and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you.
Come on.
Nor give you up. Nor leave you without support. Watch this. He says, I will not. I will not. I will not. Three times he says that. I will not. In any way, in any degree, leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. And then he says, assuredly not. Now, that's a promise right there. That's an awesome promise right there, y'all. Come on, somebody. That's an awesome promise right there. God is saying, I don't care who walks away from you. I don't care who deserts you. I don't care who leaves you. He says, you can always count on me.
That's right.
I will assuredly not let you go.
That's right.
See, he says, I'm holding you with my hands. Watch this. He says, and that should be good enough.
Amen.
That's
right.
Wow.
Amen.
I got you. He said, relax. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you with my hands, sister.
Amen.
And you know what? That's good enough.
Amen.
That's good enough. God's got you.
Yes.
And that should be good enough for everybody sitting in this room. God's got you. Amen. See, when you really get that deep down on the inside of you, that you know that God got you.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
I don't care who walks away from me.
That's right.
Who kicks me to the curb? Oh. Who walks out and quit on me? I know that God got me.
Yes.
And that's good enough.
That's good enough.
Mm. So in the midst of your troubles that you're in, take heart and understand and quit wishing you were somebody else, because it's a part of life.
Yes.
And you'll never escape it until you die. And if you ain't living right, well, that's a whole nother story.
Ooh, come on now.
So you got it?
Amen.
No matter what you're going through,
thank you, Jesus.
God is with you.
Yes.
Somebody ought to say amen to that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
No matter what you're going through.
Amen.
God is with you. 1 John 5 says, go there, 1 John chapter 5, right after Peter. 1 John 5, see, no matter what you're facing, you got to have overcomer's mentality.
That's right.
Because it's a determining factor. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. Are you there?
Amen.
Says this, for whatever is born of God overcomes. Right? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So here's what the Word of God says about you born again believers. It says, I can't be dreaming I was someone else, because I'll never be them.
Right.
Right? I got to play the hand that I was dealt.
Amen.
Right? I have God on my side. And he says, because I've been born again, I got overcomer status on the inside of me. I can overcome it.
Amen. That's right.
You know, when I was a little kid, my mom bought me, you know, one of those punching bags, you know, and it was basically one of those painted balloons that you can hit that punching bag and every which way. But nothing I did kept that punching bag from popping right back up again. Right? I can slam it on the ground and bam, that thing will pop right back up. Right? I can take that thing and throw it across the room. Hit the wall, hit the floor, bam. That's what he would do, right? One of those numbers. Don't that look like us when Satan is beating us up and down every day, all day? Am I right about it? He's just beating you down. And this is us in the middle of that. Amen. But bam, it comes right back up again. And the only way I can keep that punching bag from coming back up again is that I have to destroy it. Right? Now, the reason it could come back up again, because at the base of that balloon was a weight. Right? And that weight force, whatever external pressure that you put on it, to bring it right back up again. You know what that is? That's biblical happiness. That's biblical happiness right there. No matter what your circumstances are, bam, you come right back up again. You got to catch what I'm saying. See, there.
Come on.
No matter what your situation is, no matter how many punches and kicks Satan throws at you and tries to knock you down, and sometimes you may be halfway down, but you listen to me, you bam, you come right back up again. See, your ability to recover is because there, you got to get this. Your ability to recover is because there's a weightiness on the inside of you.
Yes, 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 yes.
Whatever external pressure you're experiencing only brings you right back up. See, that's the power of a blessed life. This is the power of overcoming. And the good part is what you get when you overcome. Let me prove this point to you.
Come on now.
You want some proof?
Amen.
Some of y'all don't want no proof. I can tell y'all a couple stories now. But if you want some proof, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Because listen to me, in the midst of your situation, if you obey godly principles, if you obey the principles of faith, God will work to solve the problem.
That's right.
Amen. He'll give you favor. He'll give you wisdom. He'll intervene supernaturally. And he'll reverse your state and cause you to walk in an abundance again, or to walk in the abundance that you never had. There's so many illustrations through the Word that I want to share some with you today. But see, when you look at the people in the Bible and see what they went through, you'll see that on the other side of them, they came out better. And we confess this every day. Every Sunday we confess this. I am the better after having heard the word of faith. Am I right? We confess it every Sunday. See, I mean, how about the children of Egypt when Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. Remember that? He wouldn't let them go. They were under what the Bible calls hard taskmasters. And he wouldn't let them go. But when they left Egypt, the Bible says they left with silver and gold. They left with plenty of money. Right? And the Bible says that wasn't a feeble one among them. Right? Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is the story of Jehoshaphat. And the people of Judah, they were surrounded by three different armies. Now, in the natural, it seemed like there was no way out.
Yes.
In the natural. They were what you might call a trick bag. Mm-hmm. Catch 22. Mm-hmm. You ever been there before? Mm-hmm. It seemed like they just ain't nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Can't go around it. Can't go over it. Can't go through it. Can't go under it. No matter which way you turn, you're in a catch 22. But look what happens when Jehoshaphat depends on God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 20. It says, so they rose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Watch this. You need to underline this. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established.
Yes, established.
Watch this, because he ain't done yet. He said, believe in your pastors. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Watch this, and you'll do what?
Succeed.
You'll succeed. You'll be prosperous.
Amen.
He says, listen, Melinda, believe in the Lord your God, and he will establish you. Listen to the words that are coming out of his prophet's mouth, and you'll be successful.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
That's good right there.
Thank you, Jesus.
And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever." Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambush against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another.
Yes.
So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies everywhere. Bodies fallen to the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils, they found among them what? What does it say? What did they find? Verse 25.
Plunder.
Right?
Yeah.
They found among them an abundance of valuables on dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off from for themselves, more than they can carry away. And there were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was what? So much. Mm-hmm. God will establish you and set you in security. Amen. See, he had the soldiers ready and prepared for war.
Yes.
But there was no notice taken of their military equipment. There was no swords, there was no spears, there was no shields or bows. But Jehoshaphat took care that faith should be their armor. As they went forth, instead of calling them to handle arms and fight valiantly, watch this, he begged them to believe in the Lord your God. And he said, and give credit to the words of the mouth of his prophets. And assured them that they should prosper. Yes. They would prosper and that they would be established.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
See, that is true courage which faith inspires a man. That establishing of the heart in shaky times, to have a firm belief of the power and the mercy and the promises of God, that the heart is fixed and trusted in the Lord and is kept in perfect peace when you're going through something. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
See, in our spiritual conflicts, this is the victory. This is the prosperity, even our faith, amen, that praise and thanksgiving should be the vanguard.
Come on now.
See, they went from a situation of being almost annihilated,
yes,
to a situation of abundance. And I said, on the other side of whatever problem you're going through is what?
Abundance.
Amen. So look at your neighbor and say, on the other side of your problem,
is the abundance you've been praying for.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Go to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, let me set the background for us here.
Okay.
This is a widow. Her husband died.
Mm-hmm.
Left her in all this debt.
Mm-hmm.
And the creditors were coming to take her two sons to become slaves. Amen. But watch this. She goes to the man of God to get a supernatural answer to her situation. She went to who? She went to who?
The man of God.
She went to who?
The man of God.
To get what?
A supernatural answer.
For her what?
Situation.
Because, look, this is why she went to him. Because the problem looks like it was going to devastate her. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. It's going to divide her family. They were coming to take her children away. Mm-hmm. So it was going to divide her family. But watch what happens. Look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 2. It says, "So Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' And she said, 'Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few.'" This is important. He's giving us some instructions here. Right? "And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all the vessels and set aside the full ones." So listen, he told her to go inside and shut the door behind her and her sons, because this wasn't meant for a public demonstration here. He wanted to show her what God can do for her. Right? He says, "And set aside the full ones." So she went in. She followed the instructions. She went in. So she went in from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass. It did what?
It came to pass.
It came to pass. When the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There's not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons live on the what? The rest." Her whole financial situation was turned around from financial devastation to supernatural abundance. See, God wants you to know today that your financial breakthrough is just around the corner. God says He will supply all of your what? Needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He'll supply all your needs, not all your wants. And He'll supply them according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. God will reverse your problem if you keep working godly principles. That's what I want to get to you today. You got to get this. You keep working these godly principles, and I'm telling you, God will change your situation. Turn over a couple of chapters to chapter 7. Y'all all right out there?
Amen.
Amen. 2 Kings chapter 7. This is where God's people, they were under siege, right? They're under attack. The enemy had them surrounded. They couldn't go out to get any food. And they were starving to death. And this famine was so bad in the city that they started eating their own children. I mean, that's how bad it had gotten.
Mercy.
Then the man of God shows up on the scene and says, "About this time tomorrow, things are going to be completely turned around." See, he showed up in the middle of a devastating situation. Death was occurring. People were eating their own children. Then the man of God shows up. And he said, "Tomorrow about this time, there's going to be a turnaround in your situation." And then one of the gatekeepers who heard this was a hater. You know, you always got haters. Right? He was... you know, there's always haters. Those women. And critics.
Naysayers.
You know what I'm talking about, OJ, right? Critics. Yeah. The player haters. Yeah. Then he showed up. They were cynical. He was cynical about this whole thing. And he said, that can never happen. And the man of God said to him, oh, what's going to happen? Watch this. He said, and you're going to see it, but you won't eat a bit of it. You're going to see it happen. Listen to me. When that building goes up on 2nd Avenue, you're going to see it happen. Oh, goodness. But you won't taste a bit of it. Don't be playing hating. It's going to happen. You're going to see it. But you ain't going to walk in it. Verse number 3. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here till we die? If we say we'll enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we're going to die. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we're going to die. And they arose at twilight to the camp, to go to the camp, and the Syrians, And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, there was no one there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore, they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact with their tents, their houses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. Amen. And when they, these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, when they went into the tents, they ate and drank and carried away from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. And then they came back and entered into another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it. And then they said to one another, we ain't doing right. This day is a day of good news. And we remain silent. Don't keep it to yourself. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore, come and let us go tell the king's household. They went and told the city, and the whole city came out and walked in the abundance. Yes. Yes. I said, on the other side of your problems, yes, is supernatural abundance. Mm-hmm. Amen. See, God will reverse the situation if you continue to work these godly principles. Amen. God calls for us to share good news, you know, the good news we know. We are not to hide it or keep silent about it, but bless one another by speaking it clearly and joyfully. Amen?
Yes.
And the Lord wants you to hear today that the problems that you're going through, don't worry about it.
Yes.
It's a setup.
Come on now.
Come on. You're going through hell. But don't worry about it. You've been set up. You keep working these godly principles.
Yes. Yes.
That's the key.
Yes.
You can't do this on your own.
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Yes.
You think, I know a lot of folks say, I got this. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep working these godly principles.
Amen.
That's how you got it.
Amen.
Because God said, I'll never leave you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Let me know when you get there. Daniel chapter 3. Y'all all right?
Amen.
Amen. Got a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Daniel chapter 3. Y'all don't mind going through the scriptures, do you? You got to give you some biblical proof. Yes, I wanted some proof, right? I wanted some backdrop and things like that, right? Didn't y'all say that in the Bible study?
Yeah.
I'm just giving you what you asked for. I'm just giving you what you asked for. Amen. Come on, sister. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 20 says this. Oh, let me start at verse number 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Well, let me just set this up. Nebuchadnezzar built an image, right? And most scholars believe that it was an image of himself, right? So he built this image and he gave out a decree that when you hear the music playing, that you were supposed to stop whatever it was that you was doing, and you're supposed to bow down and worship this image, right? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were, you know, in their room, minding their own business. The music started playing, and they didn't bow down to worship this image. But some haters saw them. Watch this. And they went and snitched on them. They went and told the king that they wasn't bowing down to the image, that he had just made a decree. So we pick this up at verse 20, verse number 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it usually is heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of this burning fiery furnace. Amen. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he arose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men in?" He said, "Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king." So they're trying to get off the hook right now. He said, "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And in the form of the fourth, it's like the Son of God." Amen. Now, a couple of things. Most folks stop right there, right? But if we go a little further down to the 27th verse, watch this. 26th verse. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the princes, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men whose body the fire had no power. Their hair on their heads was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. I want to back up for a second. It said that the king saw four men loose, walking around in the fire. It didn't say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw the fourth man.
Come on now.
It didn't say that they saw him. It said that the king saw him. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we wonder, well, where is God in the midst of our situation? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're not going to see God in the midst of your situation. But he has a purpose for you and while you're in that fire. And he said, "I would never do what? Leave you." He was right there with him. You may not see him, but he's right there with you, watching you serve your purpose for the reason that you're going through. Come on, somebody.
Come on now.
Sometimes you can go through a situation and something seems so devastating and you look like you're going to be wrecked. But when you come out of that thing, it don't even look like you've been through it. It says that the hair on their heads was not singed. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. And at the end, verse 28, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servant who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word. They frustrated whose word? The king's word in yielding their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut to pieces, and their houses shall be made of ash heap, because there is no God who can deliver like this. Then guess what? The king promoted him.
Yes, he did.
I said, on the other side of your problem is promotion. Because that is the order of God.
Yes.
Amen. See, when you look at problems this way, you understand, yeah, I may be going through something, but when I apply these godly principles, I'm coming out of this thing and I'm going to be the better when I go through it.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, goodness. Can I give you another one?
Yeah.
Amen. How about the story of Joseph? Y'all remember Joseph, right? His brothers, Joseph had this dream. He had a coat on and many colors, right? Had this dream, and his brothers didn't like the dream, right? So they did what? They plotted against him, tried to kill him, right? They tried to kill him because he had this dream, and they ended up selling him into slavery for a few measly pennies, y'all. And he went to Potiphar's house, working for Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife wanted to have sex with him, but he said no. And then from what I understand, she was not a bad looking woman, but she was throwing herself on him. And he said, no, that ain't going to happen. So she lied on him, right? And he ended up going to prison. He was thrown into prison. And while he was there, this man had a dream that he needed to be interpreted. And Joseph interpreted the dream for him. Right? Am I right about it? And when the guy got out of jail, Joseph said, hey man, don't forget that I'm down here. But the dude forgot him. Right? But then years later, the king needed a dream interpreted. And then this guy finally remembers him. He said, hey man, there's this dude down in prison over here who interprets dreams. So he goes to get Joseph. Joseph in turn interprets the dream, and he gets promoted to second in command. Prime minister over all of Egypt.
Amen.
And when the famine hit the land, his brothers came and they didn't know that they were facing their own brother. The one that they had sold into slavery for a few measly pennies. Then Joseph testified and he said to his brothers, he said, look, what you meant for evil, God used it for my good. He said, listen, on the other side of your family, Lord have mercy, selling you short.
Come on.
Throwing you in the pits of hell.
Come on now.
Selling you for a few measly pennies.
Jesus.
Folks turning their back on you. Bringing unjust charges against you.
Come on now.
On the other side of that is promotion.
Yes.
See, and what we have to do is we have to get Romans 8 and 28 deep down in our spirit, because it says that I know that all things work together for the good of those who do what? Love the Lord, and that are called according to His purpose. Now, if you look at the illumination of that scripture, it has to do with God being the master architect, and God is the master person in charge. And yes, everything that happens isn't necessarily good, y'all, but He has a way of taking them. These bad things, or things that were not meant for good, He has a way of taking them and arranging them and pulling the sweetness out of them.
Yes.
So when the dust settles, it's all worked out for your good.
Amen.
So what you need to do right now, you need to look at your neighbor and say, and tell him, hang in there.
Hang in there.
The faith fight is fixed. See, when your whole attitude should change when you see problems now. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? Yes. And see, and when I'm knowing this, my whole attitude towards problems have changed. Amen. I see problems in a whole different light now. Amen. You know, somebody asked me about Job, right? When we were talking in Bible study, somebody asked me about Job in Job chapter 5. Go there. Go to Job chapter 5. I want to show you this. Y'all don't mind, do you?
No, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was going to go anyway, but I'm just helping us out here today. Job chapter 5. This is how, you know, when you're going through problems, your whole attitude should change now that you know how to handle them, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at Job chapter 5 in verse number 21, says this. Are you there?
Amen.
Job 5, verse 21 says, "You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, and you shall not be afraid of of destruction when it comes. You shall do what? Laugh at destruction and famine. And you shall not be afraid of the beast of the earth." Amen. He said, look, since you know what you know.
Come on now. That's right.
You know destruction can't hurt you.
That's right.
Right? You know that you can't go under because you're an overcomer.
Yes.
When the devil throws up a smoke screen at you, like he's going to take you out, he says, don't get all depressed and down in the dumps and all that. The scripture just said, laugh at it.
Laugh at it.
Laugh at it.
Yes.
I mean, you've been crying, ain't nothing happened. You might as well laugh at it.
There you go.
You can laugh because on the other side of it, I'm going to walk out on a whole nother level of life and living.
Yes. Thank you.
And breakthrough.
Thank you.
All that is on the other side of whatever it is that you're going through.
Yes.
I mean, you may be going through something in your marriage right now.
Mm.
You may be going through some sickness in your body right now.
Mm.
Or some relationship problem. You hear what I'm saying? You're going through hell at your job right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you can laugh at it.
Yes. Yes.
When God gets you through it,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be better on the other side.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
But you got to keep working these godly principles.
Amen.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because on the other side of it
yes.
is a wonderful, beautiful relationship.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm. And with this type of attitude, you can look at problems, tests, trials, and situations and circumstances as stepping stones.
Mm.
One more?
One more, come on.
Okay. Go to Micah. Micah. He said, I heard you. Where is Micah? It's in the Bible. Is that what you said, sis?
No.
Huh?
Me?
Yeah.
I got the fancy one.
Right after Jonah. Right after Jonah, Micah chapter 7. Are you there? Are you there?
Yeah.
Micah chapter 7. No, this is what I tell. This is my testimony right here. Micah chapter 7, verse number 8. You know, when the devil's, you know, trying to get at me, this is what I tell. Do not rejoice over me, my enemies, when I fall. I shall arise. Don't rejoice when you see me going through. I shall arise.
Amen.
Don't make fun of me when you see me down. I shall arise. I mean, and here's the thing. I don't know about you, but you know, when I'm in battle with the enemy, I get a little attitude. I say, "Nah, I shall arise. I don't care what you say. I shall arise." See, you got to get an attitude with the enemy, because don't think he don't have one with you. He's coming to take you out. So I get an attitude. Look here, man. I shall arise. No matter what you throw at me, I'm going to bounce back up in my spirit. Mm, mm, mm. See, because I know that it is the prophetic will of God for me to come out on the other side of every problem better. Promoted. Living the blessed life. So I tell Satan, don't laugh at me when you see me praying, man. Don't laugh at me when I'm going through. Because I shall arise. See, and you got to get this deep down on, and on the inside of your spirit, see. And I'll tell you something. I may have grown up in the ghetto, but I didn't get this from there. You see what I'm saying? I didn't get this from Springfield, Massachusetts and Riverview Projects. I got this from Genesis chapter 1. You hear what I'm saying? Because in Genesis chapter 1, it says everybody that was going to be here was there. And God said, have dominion. So I know that I was created to subdue. I was created to have dominion. So I was created that on the other side of whatever I'm going through, I'm coming out better on the other side of it. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
He said, well, I ain't been to school. But when he told the fish to swim and the birds to fly, they didn't have to go to school.
Well.
Oh goodness. So when he tells you to do something, you don't got to go to school. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
That's right.
That's why I know I can say to Satan, look him square in the eye, and I say, I shall arise. I shall arise.
Yes.
Let me give you these six things and then I'm going to close. Six things your problem has to surrender to. Number one, your problem must surrender to your prayers. Amen. Your problems must surrender to your prayers. Number two, your problems must surrender to the profession of faith. To your profession of faith. Number three, my problems must surrender to my persistence in the Word. You got to stay in the Word. He says, meditate in it, what?
Day and
night. Watch this. My problem must surrender to the prophetic word that I hear. So watch this. You got to be open to hear the word.
Yes.
When you go to the man or woman of God, you gotta know that they're gonna give you a word from God. You gotta be willing and to hear and receive that word.
Yes.
Watch this. As hard as it may be, Number five, my problem. Watch this. Must surrender to my planting. My seed. So keep giving. And lastly, my problem must surrender to my praise.
Yes.
The scripture says, those who will praise him shall see the salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
So keep on praising him by faith, because you know that in order to get the supernatural blessing that you need, you got to praise God. Amen. Keep praising him. Amen. On the other side of your problems, whatever it is that you're going through,
it's
breakthrough, reward, blessings, joy, happiness, strength, courage, on the other side of it. But you got to work these godly principles.
Amen.
This is the key right here.
Amen.
Stay in the Word, saints.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Stay in the Word. Come on and give God some praise.
Amen.